Welcome to the shed. So today in the shed, I'm joined by Rich Wilson, a multi-award-winning comedian, a highly in-demand writer who has contributed to shows for the BBC Three, Sky Arts and Channel 4. And now to add to his belt, he's a podcaster like myself.
Yeah.
And with a show called Insane in the Membrane, where Rich talks to people about their experiences in mental health.
That's absolutely right. Yeah, bang on.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
It's all there.
So I just wanted to start off, and I haven't done this before with someone. I've done this before, but not on a podcast, right?
Okay.
So it's a little bit... It's a little bit of a visionary meditation.
Right.
Don't worry, I'm not going to hypnotise you. You're not going to get stuck in a shed.
So we just met. Now. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So, but it's a simple one. It's not too deep. So it's just to close your eyes,
right,
little situation, and I'll just lead you through. And when I ask a question, which will be fairly obvious, just say the first thing that comes to your head.
Okay.
And then at the end, I'll tell you what these things mean.
Right.
All right.
Wow. All right. This is the thing. Even when I've done stuff, like I've been on things, I always, for some reason, I've never been completely lost on it. Like, I know people that get absolutely wasted when they've done like drugs and things like that.
Yeah.
But I've always managed to like keep one hand on the ground. I don't know why. So I don't know how this is going to go. Yeah.
No, it's fine. Don't worry about it. Well, you don't know what was in that water.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's fine. Don't worry. I've found some ambiance for it to maybe...
I like a bit of ambiance.
It's very simple.
This place has got everything.
Yeah. Right. So... So just relax, close your eyes.
Right.
And I want you to visualise that you're walking through the woods and the leaves are falling, the light's coming through the trees, and you look to your right and there's someone there walking with you. Who is it?
Someone in a black robe.
A black robe?
Yeah.
Does that mean anything to you? Can you visualise it at all, like who they are?
It's like a tall man, Red Riding Hood, but like, you know, like that kind of cape.
Yeah.
It's like that, but not red. It's black.
Okay. Does this person represent anything in your life right now?
Yeah, it's probably stress.
Stress. Okay.
There's a lot of stress around it, and I imagine that's why. It's funny when you said walking through the woods. The leaves are falling.
Yeah.
And the light's coming through the trees. It was raining. In my head, it was a damp wood, and it was raining, and then this person arrived in this black robe thing.
And then, so you're going through the woods, and then an animal approaches. What kind of animal is it?
A wolf.
A wolf. Okay, and then while this wolf is there, what kind of interaction do you have with the wolf?
It's just staring at me.
Okay. Anything further happening?
We're just staring each other out.
And does one person win?
Probably the wolf.
Okay, and then you're now sort of walking deeper into the woods and there becomes a clearing. And before you see your dream house. Could you describe the size of it?
It's not massive, but it's just so. Very old-fashioned looking house.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not...
It's not too big, not too small.
Yeah.
It's the right size.
That's right, yeah. Yeah. Nice.
Okay, and then you walk into this house, and then on the dining table, could you describe what you see on the table and around the table?
Bread. There's a bottle of wine. There's a big lump of cheese.
Yeah.
This perfect party.
Perfect party. Okay, cool. And then now you've seen everything on the table, you walk out of the house and there's a cup on the floor. What's the cup made of?
It keeps changing.
Try and focus on it.
Yeah. It's a Sports Direct mug.
And what sort of material do you reckon that would be? Would it be like, is it porcelain? Is it china? Is it wood? Is it, or just, I mean, china probably, wouldn't it be, if it's a sports star egg?
Yeah, it's like clay. Yeah.
Okay, and then what do you do with the mug?
Pick it up.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's broken.
Okay, it's broken. Okay. And now you're going to walk to the end of the property and you're standing at the edge of a body of water. And what type of body of water is that?
It's a huge lake.
Okay. And how do you cross the lake?
There's a wooden boat.
Okay.
There's a jetty just off to my right.
Good little jetty for you. That's good. That's perfect.
Love a jetty.
Yeah. Well, that's that. So we'll find out.
Wow.
What you mean.
That's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, you wait to what they mean. Because I know and I'm like,
oh, really?
Okay. So the first thing that we said was obviously that you are walking through the woods and there's a person there. So I think this one is a little bit tricky with what you came up with, because it's the most important person in your life right now. So a guy in a black robe, I don't know what's going on there. But maybe you're trying to find out what the most important person is in your life or something like that. Yeah, it's a tricky one.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah.
They never really, it was funny because you said that, like, the person, we never really connected. They were there, but we didn't do anything.
Yeah.
To each other.
Yeah, okay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
The animal, the size of the animal, is representative of your perception of the size of your problems. So that's a wolf.
It was massive.
He was the biggest wolf I've ever seen.
Yeah. I wasn't even sure it was a wolf to start with. It was a horse.
That's a joke. So the severity of the interaction is representative of how you deal with your problems. Mm. So you're both looking at each other, you know, so that's quite good, really. Mine was a fox.
Right.
And then the interaction was the fox came running up to me and I stroked it under its neck. So I'm like, fuck you, problems.
I've got this. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. The size of your dream house represents your ambition to solve the problems. So you're in between there. You know, you see it as it's a size that you can accomplish, the size that it is, which I think is really good.
That's interesting.
Oh, I missed one, actually. Was there a fence? Did you ever see a fence?
No, there wasn't a fence.
That means you're an open personality, a person who can welcome. You welcome people at any time.
All the time. My ex used to have a go at me.
Not nice today.
Yeah. She's like, she's like, you're too nice. And I'm like, well, as far as I'm concerned, people, I think everyone's fine until they prove you wrong. Yeah. Whereas some people are the other way around. They hate everyone until they're proven. And I've always been like that.
Yeah,
always open to people. Like, you and I have just met.
Mm-hmm.
And straight away, I'm like, I love this guy.
Yeah. Absolutely first. Yeah. It's energy as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
I really struggle with pods on Zoom, because it's like, sometimes I find when I haven't met them or anything, the empathy or the stuff that you feel, it's hard to connect with sometimes, the answer with what's on the dining table when you walk in the house. This is good. If the answer did not include food, people or flowers, then you're generally unhappy. You said the perfect party. So you're a happy guy, which is good. Mine was no food.
Oh, really?
But I think when I did this, I wasn't happy on that point. It's very much how you feel right now, I think.
It's connecting
completely with how you are right now.
This is amazing. My love this. Yeah.
Carl Jung, man. It's just
mate.
You got to go for it, yeah. Because I thought, you deal with, you got obviously insane in the membrane and you take on a lot of people's stress.
Yes.
You take on absorbing a lot. So when there's, and I find, I'm interviewing a lot of people and I'm finding out a lot about their life. And sometimes it shocks you a little bit when someone goes, what do you think of that? Because it's always the other side.
Yeah, man.
So I thought it'd be quite interesting to be like, yo, what's up with you today?
I find it easier to talk about other people.
Of course we do. Yeah. We've angled it that way.
Yeah. Because when they come back the other way and they go, what about you? I go, no, fine. Anyway.
So the material of the cup is just... is what it's made of is representative of how you perceive the durability of the relationship with the person in number one. So the guy in the black robe obviously works at Sports Direct. Nigel!
Need another mug.
Yeah. And then your positioning of the cup is representative of your attitude towards it. So, you know, you pick it up and then that was it, really. So I think that's just, it's maybe just where you're at a little bit with what's important right now. Yeah, who's important? And then the size of the body of water is representative of your size for desire for love. So a lake,
yeah,
you know,
it's huge.
It's huge.
Couldn't see the end of it.
So it's good. So I thought that'd be a good little.
That's excellent. I love that.
No worries. You know, you can take it and use it on someone else. And...
Oh, my missus, she loved that. Yeah. Like she's very spiritual, and there's, you know, we've got various crystals, and she's got. There's like chakra cards that I buy the chakra cards. There's tarot cards.
Yeah.
Every time I say chakra cards, I think of chakra cards. they're by the bed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's big and all that. So she'll love that.
It's good. I mean, it's good for everyone. I think there's all different forms of pattern work and things you can go through just to get a quick understanding of how we are. Because I think sometimes you go into like a, you know, like before we came onto this, you know, this morning just imploded on you. Certain things, it's like, and you haven't got time to just have that, where am I at today? No. It's where you got to be at.
yeah. There was a lot of that. It was kind of, I think because we're so plugged into everything now, whereas years ago, it would take like a letter through the door or whatever, or a phone call on the landline. Whereas now, as soon as you wake up in the morning, you're hit with immediate, like, good news, bad news. As soon as you wake up, this is why, and I do try and do this, I find it really difficult. I do try and have my phone in the other room when I'm in bed. I sleep better now, or I switch it off. If it's off, I sleep so much better.
Yeah.
And then, but straight away you're up, and straight away you grab your phone, and straight away you're thumbing through, and then you'll see emails, texts, WhatsApp, whatever, straight away, and your brain just kind of doesn't have a moment to sort of get its head around what's going on.
We've already gone straight into that world.
Yeah.
You know, I have a rule of no tech in my room.
Brilliant.
So I don't have, and what fascinates me about that when you do that is that you get up fucking quicker to go and check your phone.
Get you out of bed.
And you're like, oh, this isn't the fucking point. You know, I need to like not actually want to go and get that first.
Yeah, that's it. The desire to get, it's the dopamine, isn't it? It's that we want that quick fix. We want that kind of, oh yeah, someone contacted me.
Yeah.
Know, that's why we lose hours scrolling through our phones because we're looking for that hit. And I find myself going, like, I have to plug a lot for my podcast and gigs and things like that, so I'm always having to post online. But I do find sometimes if it's been a bit quiet, I'll go, I'll just whack a picture up and then see. And you go, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Why am I doing that? Fuck's sake. Can I do something else?
Go to the woods.
Go to the woods.
Find that man in that robe.
Fix that Sports Direct, mate.
No, it's great. I mean, yeah, I've had that rule for quite a while, and I'm just like, you know, this has worked out for me, and now I don't fault on it. You know, my charger's downstairs. You know, and if I'm going to my room, it's literally for sleep. Mm-hmm. You know, the shed's the biggest room in the house, so the biggest room ever. My room's about half the size of this. So I'm like, well, there's not much use for it. I might as well just go in there. But
it's easier said than done, though.
Mm.
You know, I've said it on my podcast, and other people have said it on theirs. You know, this thing about trying to disconnect yourself from your phone for longer periods of time.
Mm.
It's hard.
Yeah.
You know, and you see it all the time. You see people walking around with it, and they're just glued to it, you know, and that's where we're at the minute. And, you know, and I say this as someone who's just as bad, you know, like I found myself in the fucking car.
Yeah, that's a bad one.
Yeah, and you're like, mate, so now the phone goes in the boot.
Yeah.
I put it in my coat and I put it in the boot.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you sat in traffic and you end up thumbing through it.
It only takes a second, you know. That's all it takes.
You don't need it. You don't need it with you in the car. You know, there's... I'm pretty good at getting around because I've been driving 30 years, so I kind of know where places are.
Yeah, yeah.
So by the time, so what I do, I leave, I know where I'm going, towns and cities, and then when I get there, I'll
check. Then you use it that way, yeah.
But yeah. Otherwise it's there and you're just, you know, I put Spotify on.
Yeah.
And away I go. I'm fine.
You know what I hate is when you pick up the phone, you know, or like for me, I go into the house and I've gone to get something. Mm. Get in there, I'm like, what the fuck have I been getting? You know, but you do it on the phone. So you open the phone up for something, you're looking for something, and then you go, why am I on Instagram?
Mate.
Why am I 15 scrolls down?
Yeah. But so today, I wanted to let you know, I was like, I'm running behind. Mm-hmm. A few things have happened, so I've been caught up, but I'll be there. And I found your email, and then again, I'm like, and then all of a sudden, I'm looking at Facebook Messenger, I'm just checking everything else. And I'm like, I just need to tell this person I'm going to be late. And now I'm thumbing through. Like, Come on.
I'm lost in my own phone.
It's one of them that it'll be like that for a while. It'll get to a point the next generation will go, no, we don't do that anymore.
Yeah. You know? No, we got it linked to our
fucking brain.
We got it
in our forearms. Mate.
Yeah. I mean, that is a madness to me, like, you know, with Elon Musk trying to push that through and things, Neuralink and things going in the brain. I think the more connected we are, the less connected we're going to be.
It'll get to a point, and it's horrible. Hopefully it doesn't, but they're pushing it to a point where we are going to be like cyborgs.
Yeah.
And we're just going to plug in at night and down, and then in the morning, like, and then that switches us completely off.
Yeah.
And then you set your alarm for when it switches you back on, you're like, you power up again.
Maybe that's what we're doing anyway. We don't know.
More or less, isn't it?
Yeah. So let's go into, I really like that you've done a podcast on mental health.
Nice one.
And when did that start, and how did that come around?
So it started, I never thought that it would, angle grinding a cortina.
Yeah,
yeah. I did a podcast called Hardcore Listings with Chris and Stu.
Yeah.
On the Distraction Pieces Network. And that's through Scroobius Pip. And I did that, and I immediately bonded with the guys. They're such a top pair of lads. And then that came, I did a gig in Grays. Did I just do that?
Play a little guitar.
Yeah, that's nice. I did a gig in Grays in Essex where Stu lives, and he was there, and he contacted me, asked me, he said, come do my podcast. So I went to Stu's. He's got it's not dissimilar to this, he's got a converted garage called the Whiff Inn.
Oh, wicked.
And it's brilliant. And so I went around there, and I had such a good time. And then one of their producers was there, and he messaged me afterwards. He said, you should do a podcast. I think you'd be great. I was like, yeah, all right. And he said, look, I'll come around with all my gear, and then we'll have a chat, and then we'll see where it goes.
Mm.
So we were sat there, and we were chatting, and it was all the recording stuff was set up. And I said, I don't really know what to do a podcast about. And so I've been doing mine 4 years. It was just before that. He said, there's about to be a massive wave where everybody's going to do podcasts. He goes, so you want to get in now?
Mm-hmm.
And it was so bang on. It's unbelievable. And so we were doing it, and I went, I don't really know. We just started talking. He started telling me some stuff, like it was really personal stuff. And then about an hour later, we were like, fucking hell. And he just went, I've never told anyone that.
Yeah.
He goes, this can never go out. And I went, yeah, no, I get that. And he just went, but I think this is what it's about. And I was like, yeah, I think you're right. It's about men talking.
Mm.
And he just said that. He goes, there's something about you, Richard. He goes, I just felt compelled to tell you all that stuff. And I was like, all right, well, yeah, let's do that then. Anyway, I never spoke to him again. He went off and did whatever he did.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, my now ex-partner was doing the continuity for MTV and Comedy Central. And the guy, her producer that was doing it, producer Paul, she just said, I said, I'm going to do this podcast. She went, well, Paul, I'm working with, he wants to get involved in podcasts. So he and I met up. And he went, yeah, let's do it. He goes, I'll get a room at Comedy Central in Camden. You just get the guests, and then we'll take it from there. And in the meantime, I had a recorder, and I was going around to people's houses.
Mm.
And I remember I was around someone's house in Tulse Hill in South London. And then I went off into Brixton after I'd recorded that, bumped into a few people, and a good mate of mine, Michael Smiley, who's an actor, and he was Tires in Spaced. And he goes, "What are you doing?" I went, "Oh, I'm just going around recording people for this podcast." He goes, "What podcast?" And I told him all about it. And I went, "Yeah, so I've messaged a few people." And he starts getting his phone out. And he went, "Yeah, I don't seem to have an email from my good friend, Mitch Wilson."
That's true.
And he went, "Well, what are you doing now?" I went, "Nothing." And he went, "Right, let's go back to mine and do it." So straight away, went back to his. And it's one of the best episodes we ever had. Mm. It's really emotional. And at the end, you can hear us, like, tears, and like we were hugging. And it just came from that, really. It's just all on its own turned into a podcast about people opening up.
Yeah, yeah.
And since in the 4 years we've been doing it, we've had messages from people saying that we've saved marriages, we've saved lives, and just through talking and being honest. Like, I'm not a perfect man. I fuck up all the time.
Mm.
I have fucked up in the past. I'm going to fuck up again.
Yeah.
That's the idea.
But you don't learn from being successful all the time.
No, exactly. You don't learn it. It's like when people go, "Oh, yeah, you know." If you stay where you are, don't take any risks, you're never going to have a...
No, you won't change.
You won't change, and you're not going to have a stab at life.
No.
You know, there's some good shit out there. If you fuck up a bit, you know, just take some risks.
Yeah.
And keep moving.
And also, it's like, you know, once you go on a path like that, I think we're...
Is that cut out? Is that yours?
Have we got interference?
The bloke next door's put his sword
through. That guy in the fucking robe again, yeah. Sorry, everyone. All right, I think we're all right.
There you go. Do you edit these? Just leave all that in.
I'll leave it in.
Yeah, I love all that. Yeah, makes it real.
It's got to be organic.
It's got to be.
Yeah. So where was we? I think you need to make the mistakes, but also, yes, like... You only realise what they were a long time after.
Yeah.
Or sometimes quite quickly, but I think once you're sort of, I'm going to put it in your path of, like, synchronicity, where you kind of, you feel you're meant to be going. It's where your nervous system wakes up. Yeah. It's where you get the nerves and you go through it every day. And I think to have a platform where, you know, we are sort of men, and men aren't really good at talking.
No.
And now, you know, what do you think is the main struggle with most of the men that have come on your show and spoke about? Is it not talking?
No, yeah. Well, we still have that. There's still an old-fashioned thing. Is it, you know, I talked about this the other day with someone, and we were talking about the fact that, you know, whenever it was, hundreds of years ago, we were, you know, hunter-gatherers, and so, you know, we were we were divided up into, like, people stayed at home, sorted out the house.
Mm.
We got sent out, because we're biologically stronger, we got sent out to get the food.
Yeah, yeah.
And so now it's more even, and we don't need to, you know, you don't need that strength to go out and... It's now a mental strength.
Yeah.
Rather than a physical one. You're...
As well as a war.
Yeah. You know, everything's more even now, and so men and women and everyone goes out and hunter gathers, but in us, there's still that instinct.
Yeah.
And you know, when you were out doing that, when you were out running around hunter gathering, you know, the last thing anyone wanted in the hunting group was you going, "Oh, I'm just not feeling it."
Yeah.
"Oh, yeah, listen, John, I'm feeling a bit..."
Mm.
"Yeah, no, I don't know if I don't fancy it, mate." Like, you know, like, "No, we're going to go and kill that animal." "No, listen, I'm veggie now."
Yeah.
I don't want to take that. You know, you had to suppress all those things.
Mm.
Now, I might be wrong, but this is how it seems to me. Suppressing our, those feelings is, we've been doing it for hundreds of years, you know, and... Up until recently, like my dad's generation, you know, they never talked about their feelings. My dad opened up to me last year.
Mm.
He's 76.
Yeah.
And we just had a moment in the car. He told me about... I knew his mum was an arsehole. And my nan. And, and I knew that. I'd heard the stories.
Mm.
And I knew that his dad struggled with it. My granddad, we think, was gay. But obviously because it was illegal, and so he when he was around, so... He ended up marrying my nan.
Mm.
And so he had those struggles to deal with. And my nan was so horrible to him. And then one day my dad had stood up to him and gone, "No, you pick on my dad." And his dad even said to him, like, "Don't do that." He goes, "It'll make it even worse." So he's had all that suppressed.
Yeah.
He's not been talking about it. And now, I think we're sort of the first generation to sort of open up and start these conversations, you know, where we're going, do you know what, I don't like, you know, you've got the lads in the pub watching the football, they're all clad head to toe in Stone Island.
Yeah.
But even there, even now, they're going, they're like, you know, you're right, John, what's going on, mate?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, there's still a way, you know, there's still a way to go, but they're still, at least they're doing it. Do you know what I mean? Dang it. But they're doing it. Do you know what I mean? This is, it's going to be clumsy because it's just, we're only starting out, but we'll get to a point where it just becomes part of what we do, where we just like, I do it. I like when someone says to me, you're all right, and I go, actually, I'm feeling really weird. I don't know why. I don't know if I've eaten something odd or I haven't had enough or whatever, but I feel a bit fucked off, or I feel this or whatever. They'd be right out of the blue and people go, all right, mate, I just needed to know just the basics.
Yeah.
So it's going to be clumsy and clunky, but we're doing it, and I've completely gone off on a tangent here, but
fine. It's
starting to happen, and it's going to be clumsy. Changes are happening. We're part of that first wave of the changes. So the next, you know, we might not benefit, but the next generation will. And I think that's what we need to remember, that everything we're doing now will benefit people later on.
Yeah.
So.
And the people around as well, you know.
Yeah.
And it's also relatability. Like, if people can listen in and they go, oh, yeah, that's kind of happened to me. And then they'll and then someone, you know, you want a podcaster to ask the questions where they're going to get the answers, but you want the answers to come from the experience of the person.
Yeah.
So how I look at it is, like, when you open those gates, people might not necessarily become a complete speaker of it, but they'll get some recognition for what they're feeling.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good point to it as well. And I think it's harder to speak.
Yeah,
you know, it's quite easy to bottle it all up. That's the thing, you know.
It's in us that need to suppress it. You know, like I say, you know, that was the original point. We were going back to that. Is, you know, I remember growing up, like, you know, boys didn't cry. You know, get a man up, pull your socks up, and now we're just coming out of that now. And my lads, you know, they're sort of the first generation. I've got two lads, 30 and 25.
Yeah.
And they're the first generation that haven't had that, sort yourself out, pull your socks up, be a man, you know. And you can really tell the difference from them. They have more empathy.
Yeah.
They're a lot more understanding of people and everything around them. They're a lot more chilled out. They haven't had that anxiety of, you know, oh, shit, I better man up or I'm going to get a slap in the ear. You know,
You
know, there isn't that. They haven't grown up with that threat of violence around them. That, you know, no, just nothing. That's just how it was, you know. It's just, but we recognise that that was wrong. But that, you know, that was that generation. But I think there is still a large group of men that still feel that need to push it down.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're scared to open up and look weak.
Yeah, yeah.
In front of their mates, you know. And I think we'll get there. It's starting to happen. You know, like, you've got footballers, you've got boxers, you've got people that, you know, a lot of men admire now, talking about, like, Ricky Hatton talking about his depression and people like that. And that's what he needs. We need those people to start opening up and say, yeah, look.
Yeah, Fury as well. He's been
Tyson Fury, perfect example. Yeah, you know that. And he's a traveller.
Yeah.
You know, and that is
fucking hard as nails.
Hard as fucking nails, right? And all that, you know, like the travelling community, having known a few people that are in it, you know, their whole life seems that they have to fight for their place. They have to fight for everything that they've got. So they're very combative people. So I don't know if any of them ever sit down and go, oh, yeah, I'm feeling a bit. You know, so someone like Tyson Fury coming out and saying, and I might be wrong, anyone from the traveling community listening to this, I might be completely wrong, but it's just going, I'm going by the experiences I've had, like, growing up with, I had mates that were in the travelers. And, I do remember there was a guy called Joey, and he used to just appear out of nowhere, and he disappeared. And every time he appeared, he's like, "All right, we're going out." It's just, you know, there was no like, "Oh, I'm busy." He was like, "All right, Rich," and he'd come in, he'd go, "I'll give you a bit of that," and he'd squirt a bit of bit of Pacaraban. And I remember, and then that was in the late 80s, and he's no longer with us now, bless him. But it was, you know, he'd tell me how he was feeling. You know, but then you go back to fighting and smashing the pub up. So, yeah, there's still an element in men that still feel the need to push it down, but we'll get there.
Yeah, I think you know, going back to like hunter and gatherers, they probably still would have had, you know, like there's an interesting story, which is a bit off topic, but it's about this mushroom.
All right.
Which is like Super Mario one. Mm. And basically the Siberia, basically the shaman there would go up to, this is where Santa Claus comes from, right? So they would go up to the pine trees.
Yeah.
And under these pine trees, that's where they grow. So they would eat the mushrooms and they would talk to the pine tree and about the village problems. And they would ask why they're tripping off their fucking nut.
What
the problems are, right? So then they would go back to the village and talk to the villagers. So I think even in them times, it was different lines of communication of how they should battle through their problems.
Yeah.
But the other thing with that, right, the correlation, not to this conversation, but to Santa Claus, I'll just tell you, is basically they would, if the mushrooms were wet, they'd put them in their socks and hang them up over the fire.
Is that where that comes from?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that shit, man.
Then at the same time, they're... Basically, they would go and deliver the mushrooms, but they would have snow all round the huts. So what they would do is chuck them down through the chimneys.
What?
Yeah.
This is mad. And oh, I love this.
They would also wear red and white. So that's how they kind of look. And the funniest thing out of all of it is that there's reindeers there, and the reindeers fucking love these mushrooms, and they get a red nose.
Oh, mate.
And the thing is, it's actually, it's a hallucinogenic, but it's actually poisonous as well. And the best way to get the poison out is to let the reindeers eat it. And then afterwards, what they do is they wait for the piss from the reindeer and they drink it. And the reindeer also does that with the shaman.
Mate.
So it's nuts. But yeah, when you start getting into like the esoteric or where these stories all come from, well, it's been changed.
Yeah.
But the fascinating thing I see with a lot of tribes and things like that, they do have lines of communication that was a lot more open.
Right.
What we've been built into is a kind of facade of what society is through films, through social media, how men are meant to act, the alpha male, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I look at like the real transformation is when men stop actually being weak and do talk.
Yeah.
Because the weakness is holding it in. You know, the weakness is, you know, not letting it out there. It's hard to talk.
Yeah.
You know, I find so it will build stronger relationships, men, women, you know, in a unity kind of path. But you need... people like you, you know, to open the gates and like start something that allows that. So,
yeah.
Congrats to you, bro.
Thanks, man. Well, I think it's that. I think it's someone that sounds like me.
Mm.
And I always get, you know, everyone's going, oh, you're a bit of a geezer, a bit of that. And I'm not actually like that. I'm just, I grew up with people like that. So that kind of, it's just, I sort of had, you know, I assimilated to, keep, you know, so don't get my head punched in. Like, that's, I grew up with geezers. And so, but I'm not really like that. And, you know, I've got this accent and that, but it doesn't
I've
really.
I've got this accent.
And it does, yeah.
So going down the shop earlier.
Yeah. People, bagging. People assume certain, since they hear you, they assume certain things. It's not until they get to know you that they realise there's something else going on. But but someone that sounds like me will make someone else that sounds like me have a think and go like, actually, yeah, I do need to have a chat with someone. You know, everybody needs to open up, you know, and like you've hit the nail on the head right there then, just saying, you know, it will weaken you keeping it in, you know. The strength is actually going to admit you've got something wrong, something's happening in you.
It's also that energy.
Yeah.
You know, you said chakras earlier, but you know, there are energy, you know, it's not just pumping from my heart. There's something else as well going on, energy in your body. And I do believe, you know, you look at a tumour or polyps or anything that is a disease, what does the body do? It wraps it up and goes, I'm going to keep this in here away from the body.
Yeah.
And I think where people have trauma or they have stress, that builds up and it correlates with certain organs in your body, and that can cause disease and everything else along the lines. Don't hit me on the scientific facts of this.
But there is something in that. There is.
I mean, I think we've detached a bit from the energy side of spirituality or, you know, what we really are and everything else. But when you look at people that are high in stress, or you look at heart attacks and everything else, was it caused by stress? Where's that from? Is your mental approach to life?
Yeah.
So I think it's got to go from the mind to the body, and then you sync up and then you're like, I'm ready to go.
Got it, yeah. You look at people that have taken up yoga, you know, they look incredible. Like Paul Weller, for example, you know, he's he's gone through all manner. He's been doing music, you know, like for nearly 50 years, and he's gone through all manner of stages. You know, he was a drinker and he did all his other stuff. And now he's sacked it all off, doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, didn't do anything else, taking up yoga. You know, he's in his 60s and he looks spectacular. And you go, they just have their aura changes, their energy changes. That whole, I really do believe in energy. And, you know, and this is the thing, I don't think we'll ever work out what that is or where it's come from. I believe that you're going to, you know, we're vibrating in this form at the minute.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when eventually it stops vibrating, that energy just goes off.
Yeah.
Off into, you go back into the universe and become part of.
Yeah, and then you go, shall I fucking go and do that game again? Or it was a bit of a headache. I'll go
somewhere else.
And I can't be bothered with the amnesia as well. I didn't remember who I was for ages.
Yeah, 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 exactly. It'd be nice if you could sort of remember it all. You know, when you break down and you get back into the universe, and then when you start vibrating again in another form.
It's the art of not knowing that allows the game to go, I think, though.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about it, imagine it is like that, you know, and you remembered and you're a baby and you're like, oh, I can do whatever in here, I know.
It would be wouldn't it be nice to know that when you were young, when you were a kid, that was a good place to be?
Mm-hmm.
Like someone said it the other day, it was on TikTok, and he goes, we were living the dream. Like, we were living at home, no bills.
Go
to school. School was 9 till 3.
Yeah,
you didn't have anything else to worry about. He goes, 6 weeks holiday, Christmas off, Easter off.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes, eat what you want, do what you want.
I can find sometimes, though, growing up is quite hard. It's quite difficult because you're trying to, you know, as a boy, you know, puberty kicks in, you're just like, what the fuck am I doing with all this energy now? Like, it was so simple when I was like 10, you know, and then that changes your psyche, like dealing with that kind of energy as well, I find. And then, you know, schools itself, it's like 9. My brother's in school in Spain.
Right.
It's 9 till 5, 5:30, I think it is.
Yeah, right.
They do tests all the time, like every 3 months. And if you fail through the year, you go back a year. And I'm like, that's a proper pressure, that is.
I think this school system needs to change because, you know, they're getting rid of... They don't encourage artists to be artists. They encourage everyone to be just...
Workers, not just thinkers.
Workers, exactly. That's what they want. The system is built to, you know, to turn us into worker bees. And I've said this before. You look now, like, apartments are getting smaller. Motorways are getting wider. Train lines are getting faster. Apartments, like I said, getting smaller because people go, well, I'm hardly ever there anyway, I'm at work all the time.
Yeah.
And they're not widening up these things they're doing it so you get to work quicker. The reason they don't want
and
you
then
to,
charging you more
and charging more time. Well, this is it. They want you to work, they don't want you to work from home, they want you to go into the office because then you're paying into the system. You know, you're not because if you're working from home, you're suddenly, like you said earlier before we started, you go, like, you start to think and you start to go, what the fuck am I doing this for? Why is my flat so small?
I'm
busting my bollocks here for some prick who's got 6 yachts. I haven't even got a loaf of bread. Right. This is bollocks, and they don't want that.
You did have one on the table.
That's because my psyche is just so happy that there's bread around. But it's that, you know, like once you, they want you in the system constantly. And that's what, and that starts from school. You know, that it's drummed into you, like you've got to pass these exams. And then you're clever.
Yeah,
and then you're part of this
product.
But I'm not academic. I mean, now I love reading, but I read about the things I like.
Yeah, passion.
Yeah, but at school you're trying to tell me about fucking fractions. I don't give a shit. I don't care.
No.
I don't care about the Normans. I don't give a shit when they came over.
No.
All that sort of thing. Now
I'm
looking back and going, oh, that's interesting. Why the fuck did they come here?
Mm.
You know, you know, like the system's just there so that it turns us into worker bees, so we don't have our own thoughts, you know, because greed is just ruining everything. That's what it is. It's all this, you've got you've got 5 white racist pedophiles running everything, and all the money's going to them, and the rest of us are trying to run around, working for them.
The world's fucking nuts.
It is nuts, and it's, I don't know what it'll take to change it, but it just needs us. You know, just needs us all to just stop. I mean, look what happened in the pandemic. All the business people panicked because they weren't getting the same money because we weren't going anywhere. We were all locked in. So all big business started panicking, going, well, we need the people out. They're the ones that were talking about herd immunity and like, get back out there, get the people back out there. Oh, no, it's fine. Stop worrying about it.
Paying people for their campaigns, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They started to panic. And you go, all right, so if we just go, do you know what? Today, I'm not even going to leave my house. I'm not going to log on. I'm not going to buy anything. I'm not going to do anything.
Mm.
I'm just going to not, I'm not going to participate.
Yeah, yeah.
If we all did that one day, they go, they'd have to start taking it seriously. Go, fuck, if they can do that for one day.
Yeah, what if they've done it for a week?
What if they did it for a week? And then what if they did it, what if they just start, and then they start, and then what they're going to do in that time, are they going to start talking to each other?
Mm.
And they're going to start going, yeah, we have got a shit flat. Why is it small? I'm busting my, like my wife, she was on Universal Credit when I met her and she was doing a part-time job. She was better off then.
Yeah.
She's got a full-time job now, which is ludicrous.
I think there is a motion for people to be more dependent on the government, and that's why Universal Credit and these things seem to be a lot more readily available, I think, and definitely for the self-employed.
Yeah.
And I think there is a process with this, like, you know, what's his name? Old Claus on the World Economic Forum. And he goes, you know, not everybody can be robot cleaners. You know, but already you see the transformation in like AI, right? AI, yeah. You can go on chat, this chatbot thing, and literally write in, you know, I've got nearly every fucking email template a podcast could ever need. Mm. And it does it in minutes, you know. So that's, whose job is that taking? Then you've got it doing videography, and then you've got, there's a, basically this podcast, right?
Mm.
This video, we could literally take it, put it into AI, and it would turn it into claymation within about 10 minutes.
Oh, my God.
So where's that's claymation gone? You know? And it's the communication through it isn't, from me to the AI yet, probably isn't. But when it goes into, rather than it being a computer, it's just a software that works for you, and you say, I want to develop this, and you could have 10 fucking jobs going on at the same time. So I think there is going to be either the government is going to have to play a part where people are going to be in a position where we go through this transition. You know, it's all fucking nuts. The next 20 years, I don't know.
But I think it's that. I think it has to get to a point where they, instead of, they have to start putting people first. Mm. They have to start caring about us.
Yeah.
And they can't computerize everything. Like supermarkets, you know, with the self
Well, you've got ones, Amazon's got ones where you just walk in now.
You just walk in the fucking place.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's literally no one there.
Yeah.
And you can't shoplift because they've
got... Have you been in one? Or?
No, I've seen it, though. There's one in Islington, in Angel, and I've yet to go in it yet. I don't want to just wander in to have a look and it charges me. But it's going to get to a point, you know, they're going to go, right, we're going to, you know, everything's done by robots. And they go, well, people need to have jobs. People need to work. And you go, yeah, and then it'll end up just, there'll be nothing for people to do. They'll die.
Yeah.
And it'll end up, the five racist paedophiles who run the world, they'll just be them five on their own. And we're all gone. And they'll just be there with the robots.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And they'll be fucked. And they'll suddenly go, what have we done?
Yeah.
What have we done?
Yeah.
We've just got carried away.
Mm.
You know, Elon Musk.
Do you
Musk,
think they will? Do you think they'll have that moment?
They'll have that moment, like they do in films, like when they get to that point where the bloke, you know, whoever it is, he's like, he wants complete and utter domination, wants to be the ruler.
Yeah.
And then he suddenly realises...
With his Tommy gun and then he falls in the fountain.
And he suddenly realises he's on his own.
Yeah.
And
you
go, oh, shit.
Mm-mm.
I didn't think that through.
Yeah. I think to get that amount of greed, you have to lose a lot of people.
They don't give a shit about people.
No.
You know that. I mean, Elon Musk won't be happy until his head's in a jar.
Mm.
And you know he's
He plays the game of like the God, you know, saving with technology, and then he talks about the technology we shouldn't use while creating the same technology we shouldn't use.
Oh yeah, exactly.
It's like they tell you what they're doing. You know what I mean?
It's like he's telling you he's looking after you while he's sawing your leg off. I don't trust any of them. And then what happens is, if you start talking like this, people start saying, oh, you're hippy-dippy, you're this, you're that, you know, you're a bit... And you're like, no, I give a shit about people.
Yeah, yeah.
And the world is a better place with people in it. There's enough.
Yeah,
that we don't need to start... We don't need to be destroying the rainforest, and we don't need to be cluttering up the oceans with bin bags full of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
There's enough stuff. There's enough ways that we can all survive and all have our own, all have enough. And then they go, oh, you're a commie. You go, no, I'm not. I'm humanist. Yeah, I'm a human. Yeah. Human. I don't know if it's that, but I like people. I like people being
around.
It
is that, though. It is, you're a human. That's what you kind of forget, though.
Yeah.
You know, I sometimes think, all right, it's all very well, you can, like, career, podcast, this, that. What's the fucking journey of a fucking human? You know, not all these other things. These are all things you're building to experience through life as a human, but how are you meant to understand your body? How you meant to go through different processes of the energy that's in your body? You know, all these things, they're detachments. We're not really taught them in school or anything else. I think it does start with education. You know, what is it, the Steiner schools? Is it Steiner? Right. They don't really have them anymore. You know, watch me, Cam.
Sorry about that. So much technology. There's us taking off Elon Musk. He's like the inside of his head. Yeah, the thing is, like, we're slagging it all off. We're like, we're doing a podcast that has to go out.
Yeah.
Probably via the channels that
they've been created through. But then we're using it in good measure. You know, there's some, why do you want to put a fucking link in someone's brain to get them even more tapped in with digital currency? Everything's going to be so stuck to a person that's not even in their grasp anymore.
Yeah.
You know, you protest, you go along the lines of we're not, along the lines of not being with the system that you're in, and then your bank account's taken. You know what I mean? We're not far off that. So that's where, we're not going to damage anyone by this tech.
No. I've got a mate of mine, and every time I see him, when I was married before, so it was a friend of my ex-wife's, and he used to come over. I still talk to him now, he's a top bloke, but he used to work for the government. He used to come over and he'd tell me all this stuff that was going on. And I was like, and then I had to tell him, I said, can you stop?
Yeah.
Because it's really worrying me.
Yeah.
And he went, nah, he goes, you'll be all right. He goes, but what you need 300 quid cash in an oven glove, like hidden.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes, because when it all goes down,
your runaway money.
You're going to need your runaway money, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, fucking stop telling me this stuff. But
that's a good measure.
Yeah.
You know, just in any kind of house, isn't it? But yeah, I talk to a lot of different people. I've spoken to like a flat earther. Yesterday I was telling you I've spoken to a guy that channels aliens. So you have to protect your own energy, and you can't, I don't want to delve so far into these things that you consume it and excel it all the time. Like you get, you become a holy man, as in the sense, you're standing on the street telling everyone your fucking view and why they should believe in it.
Yeah.
You know, and that does happen when you absorb a lot. Sometimes you want to tell everyone, but you got to realize in the pub, people are going to look at you slightly fucking weird. It's called Agent Smith syndrome. If you start saying something, someone else will come up to you and go, no, that's not right. And you'll be like, why? And they'll be like, science.
to be honest, now in this day and age, there's so many mad things happening.
Oh, yeah.
Like I'm starting to, I used to believe certain things. I was all like, look, the earth was, the universe and everything in it was created from the Big Bang.
Yeah.
Everything is just a chemical reaction that's got out of hand.
Yeah, yeah. Germ on a rock.
Yeah, basically. It was like Tommy Tiernan, the Irish comedian, and he said he went to the planetarium in New York or wherever it was, and he said, and you're sitting there, and he goes, you got the Earth, and he's going, then it pans out, there's all our planets, and then there's all these bits and pieces.
Mm.
It pans out again, and there's solar systems and galaxies, and there's this and the other. He goes, and it pans out again, and then there's more galaxies, more solar systems, more this and that. And it pans out again, and he goes, and in the end, he goes, far from being the centre of everything, he goes, nobody knows we're here.
Yeah.
So we just happen to be on this rock now.
Mm.
All this stuff is happening, and the thing is, because of the capitalist machine, like we've all bought into that, and we're all stuck in that at the minute. But really, we're just animals. We should be running around fighting.
We're waking up to it. Look, COVID did wake us up.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
And funnily enough, like you mentioned mushrooms before, like we are. Like there's that side of things. I had Eggsy on my podcast from Go Looking Chain.
You're a mushroom having a human experience.
Yeah, he said that we are like that. Life on Earth wouldn't exist without mushrooms.
Yeah,
that thing it was from a meteorite that hit the Earth.
Yeah,
that had the spores on it that spread over a wide area.
Yeah,
and I was talking to my mate Geordie, who used to work for NASA, not NASA, but the British version.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was talking to him, and it's funny, when you talk to him, he's a proper Geordie.
Mm-hmm.
I met him doing some gigs for the troops out in Oman. He was in the Air Force. And then randomly met him in Edinburgh again, and we'd just been mates. But he was saying, he goes, and I said to him about that, I went, there's this theory that it might be a meteor that had the spores on it and did the thing. And,
yeah.
and he went, yeah, he goes, maybe, yeah. He goes, like, you know, if there's... It's the, you know, the water on the meteorite, and it would have dispersed over a large area.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that makes absolute sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, fuck. I thought you'd be the first person to go, you're mental.
Yeah.
But it is. We're all, that's why we have fungal infections. That's why we have athlete's foot. That's why we have things like
that's why when you eat them, they fucking start having a conversation with
you. That's why they tell you when they're off, they're like, don't eat me.
They go, oh, not again, Ryan. We've done this 2 days ago. Haven't you learned yet?
Tell you what, I've got some mushroom chocolate I've yet to have yet.
Yeah.
But it's in the cupboard. My wife wanted to try it.
Yeah.
She's a bit, bless my wife. She's so lovely.
Yeah.
And she's a bit wary about stuff. Whereas I'm like, yeah,
do it.
Have it. Mm-hmm. So we're going to wait for some time. And we're going to have a nice Sunday afternoon.
Good thing you can do with it is, you know, it can be intense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It can be a lot. But, you know, they're doing it in therapy now. So you've got a therapist, you take 5 grams. 5 grams is a heavy dose.
Mm.
And then basically what they do is put music on and blindfold. Because really the idea is most people experience out-of-body experiences. So they realise, you know, they're more than just their body.
Yeah.
So that kind of thing, you know, is a really good way to do it because you learn a lot through it, but it is like, whoa, okay, visualize and you know, things like that come through.
But it's things like that, it's that thinking that where, like what I was saying before, I thought I had it sussed. I thought I knew that the world just kind of evolved from a chemical reaction
because it's a very simple model, you know what I mean? Then who made the Big Bang
exactly?
You know, how did the Big Bang come around,
mate? My ex-wife. Was brought up a Jehovah's Witness. And one day we were talking and she out of nowhere, she just went, well, I don't believe in evolution. I believe in creation. And I went, what? But evolution's proven. Creation isn't.
Mm.
And she went, well, you've only been told that.
Yeah.
And I went, no, it's been proven. You can see that things evolve. Things evolve all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The universe that we're in is expanding all the time. And she went, yeah, but into what?
Yeah.
And I went,
what's when you look at how many theory is put on the end of these things, you start thinking, hang on a minute.
That was something I tried to listen to, Brief History of Time. I had it on CD and I've had it in the car, and there's a bit where it explains to you the difference between a scientific theory and an everyday theory. So when we use the word theory, it means, you know, you're having a guess.
Yeah.
But a scientific theory means something completely different. And
it's the 99.9. It's the closest thing they can find to the fact of what it is.
I couldn't get my head around it. You've literally just explained it better than whoever was narrating Stephen Hawking's book.
No, it's been great. And I just wanted to lead in a little bit just about the world of comedy for you.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing stand-up?
So 19 years. I started in October 2004. Mm. And I never even expected to be a comedian. I used to be able to make my mates laugh. And I got a job in a comedy club in 2001 up the creek. And, you know, I was having a nice time. And then I'd get pally with some comedians, and then they were like, you should do it. I think you could do it. And back then, you could earn, doing circuit, you could earn a lot of money.
Mm.
You know, the money hasn't changed, which is why we're all struggling a bit now. But back then, you know, 20-odd years ago, it was good wedge. So, you know, I just kind of went, yeah, all right, I'll do that. And a mate of mine had some gigs, and he went, you're going to come and do my gigs. You can't get out of it. And I just got into it. And then suddenly I'm nearly 20 years in.
Mm-hmm.
I've travelled the world. I'm meeting different people all the time. I think that's the thing as well. Open yourself up to things by just the word yes. Say yes.
Yeah.
Because I know, mate, I've got mates of mine, and they'll go, oh, I don't know, I'm a bit tired. I'm like, so go and be tired. Mm-hmm. But go and do the thing.
Yeah. Because afterwards, you'll feel fucking great.
You'll feel fucking great. You'll be knackered.
Yeah.
You know, and you'll be like, oh, yeah, I've got a long day at work tomorrow, but at least I went out. You know, like, do the thing, because nothing good comes from being comfortable. Just sat there, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you're just a mushroom.
Agitated.
Yeah.
You're just a mushroom in
a pair of Crocs. Sat there.
Yeah.
You know, but people do want that. They want safe. a lot of the time as well. So they want their job that doesn't stretch them too much. You know, they're getting their money every month. They've got a nice little house. They've got a nice little partner, whatever. Nice and safe, you know. Mm-hmm. They watch the football on a Saturday. You know, they go and see their parents on a Sunday. And I've lived that life, and it's fucking boring.
Yeah.
I never want to go back to it. I was in Manchester the other week, and Geordie, I just spoke about, he lives in Manchester, and I did my gig, and then I was like kicking about, and I'm like, I was staying in the travel lodge, and I'm like, I don't want to stay in here. So I went round onto Oldham Street, and there's a pub there called the Castle Hotel. It's always banging.
Mm.
And I was in there, it was a bit quiet, so it was about 11 o'clock at night, and I just was sat at the bar, and I text Geordie, and I just went, I'm in town, just seeing if you're around this weekend. He goes, where are you? I'm at the Castle Hotel. He went en route and just appeared. And you go, that's what I want.
Yeah, yeah.
I want people, I want that.
Yeah.
Just go, fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas his missus, bless her, she's a lovely woman, but she just went, at this time, absolutely fucking not. And he went, well, I'm going. And she's like, fine, you go, but I'm not going.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just things like that. Go and do stuff.
Mm.
You know, get out there. And so, and that's all, everything that I have, it all comes from comedy.
Mm.
Like the podcast comes from me doing a gig in Grays in Essex. Stu Whiffin happened to be in the audience. He messaged me and he went, do you want to do a podcast? You should do, you know, come do my podcast. And then out of that, someone said, you should do a podcast. And all the way along, I've gone, yeah, all right. Yeah, fine. Yeah, I'll do that.
Mm.
And so you got to be, like you said earlier, when we did that thing at the beginning, that exercise at the beginning, you got to be open.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The more open you are, the more... Yeah, you can. You know, there's another thing as well. In a minute, everyone's anxious and my anxiety. You go, yeah, you're supposed to have anxiety.
Yeah, you're not meant to run from it.
No,
you're meant to go through it.
Embrace it. Yeah, and you're not going to go. You can't go through life like trying to trying to second guess where the bad bits are.
Mm.
Like, because there's people now that go, oh, I don't go out because I'm socially anxious.
This is what I worry about, the push of it.
Yeah.
You know, if you put that in a space where it's like, I can't do this because I'm anxious. I'm not going to do that because I'm anxious. Then that keeps people not reaching their full potential.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, everyone gets nerves.
Yeah.
You're meant to.
Yeah.
You know, I go Kung Fu and I get fucking nervous every time before. I get more nervous going there in a really safe space with really nice people. But it's not really my mind. My body just knows you're going into Kung Fu.
You're going to get hurt.
Yeah, you're going to, you know.
But it's your
lot of time, I'm just jumping around doing cartwheels. So I'm quite new to it, you know what I mean? So it's not, you know, it's not like anything really intense. But I said to my mate Charlie, do you ever get nervous for going training? He's like, every time, bro.
Because that's your alarm system. Your anxiety is your alarm system. And it's telling you that something is about to happen and you've got to be alert and aware. That's why when you get anxious, everything becomes more clear. And you're like, oh, fuck.
Because you know, 100 or, well, more than that, good 1,000 years ago, you'd be up a tree with a die, you know? And you'd be more zoned in. When you're nervous or you're anxious, you're actually very focused.
Of course
you
are.
You know what I mean? If you can hold that energy,
either, or
you leave it and then you remove yourself from it and then you don't have that.
But people are trying to now, they're trying to go through life not feeling uncomfortable. They won't put themselves in situations. They'll go, oh, I don't want to meet up with everyone because it makes me anxious. Mm. You go, no, if you go... And if you go every time, but if you say yeah and meet up, in the end, that anxiety will go,
mm-hmm.
you know, or it becomes less. You know, you need to embrace it. Like we say, your anxiety is your alarm system, keeps you safe. You know, it stops you getting out of the car in safari parks, you know, things like that. It goes, because you go, oh, I've seen lions, they look good. And you're like, then your brain goes, you don't get out of the car. Then.
Yeah,
I'm going to go and touch one. No, but it's, you know, you can't go through life letting the anxiety rule you.
Mm.
Staying safe as well doesn't nothing good comes from that. You know,
you don't grow.
You're not going to experience anything. You just
play the game again.
Yeah,
exactly. You die.
Yeah, and the thing is as well, there's imposter syndrome as well that people experience a lot, especially in what I do. And I get it all the time. And people go, "Do you have it?" I went, "Not anymore," because I'm 20 years in. I've earned my place.
Yeah,
you know, all the shit I've been through. I now I've had enough gigs done enough gigs that I've gone well to know that I'm good at what I do. I've earned it, you know, and I've worked really hard, and now I can do this job, so I don't have imposter syndrome. So that's what I mean. The more you do stuff,
yeah,
the better at it you become.
Yeah, the more natural it becomes. Yeah.
And then you get
practice,
and then it becomes comfortable, and then you get bored,
and then, and then you need more.
Right, what's next?
Yeah. Do you ever struggle with sort of your dopamine levels now with shows and things like that? Like, you know, because I find when I do like a crazy pod, and then the next day I'm a bit like, you can get low in certain times. You know,
yeah.
Do you ever find that happens?
I used to spend a lot of time lying around just thinking, and that I never put the telly on. I didn't read. I didn't go out, and I'd just be waiting for the gig in the evening. And so I was getting my own head in that. But now, because I really hate that feeling of like feeling sad, and feeling depressed. Something's clicked inside me, and now I'm like, I'm just always on the go. I'm like, right, no, I'm not going to feel like that today. I'm going to go out. I'm going to do this. I'm going to read that, do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
you talk to yourself as
well.
Yeah,
I do. Out loud as well. Yeah, like, the other day I ended up trying to do six things at once because people keep saying I've got ADHD. I go, yeah, probably. I mean, I'm a comedian. I'm never going to get it tested.
No.
But I probably have. But, you know, the other day I went to put the washing on. Then I went into the bedroom to see if there's anything else that needed washing. And then suddenly I'm loading my bag up ready for the gig. And then I'm doing something, and I said out loud, I'm like, just do one thing.
Yeah.
Out loud. And I feel now more comfortable on stage in the 20 minutes or half an hour or however long I'm up there than I do the rest of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that. I get a bit low if there isn't a gig in the evening. I'd say it means I haven't got anything to sort of aim for.
Mm.
I get a bit
angry,
a bit angsty, and I'm a bit like, I'm a bit moody. But funny enough, there are some people that when they come back from gigs, they can't go to bed straight away. They just sit up and they watch films because they're so.
I have that.
The adrenaline.
Yeah, sometimes I do extra work.
Yeah.
Like on films, things like that. And it's like, you know, today I've seen one housemate and you.
Yeah.
But when I go on to an extra work, I'm going on to Wicked at the end of the month, 9 days. So it's like the set's mad. They dressed me up in some green fucking suit. Like,
love that.
Oh, man. But I went, what's the last one? Bob Marley.
Yeah.
And they kept us extra work. It's literally like the fucking Ricky Gervais thing. You're sitting around for fucking hours talking shit. Yeah. But what I like is there's no phones. They take your phones.
Oh, do they?
So everyone starts acting human again.
Yeah.
You know, Jenga's out, chess is out. People are talking about, you just talk for hours. But they kept us in this studio for like 11 hours. And then I think it was it was 11 at night. I got there about 10 in the morning. And then at 11 at night, we had to go in and listen. It was live, Bob Marley doing Exodus. So it was the first time he rung that song out. And it was like, it was so fucking like long to sit there all day and then be like crowd, like, you know it, you know. And then I just get home, and all through the extra work I've done other ones like you and Loki and all the ones that go through the night and things like that, right? I can't fucking sleep. But it happens to a lot of people there as well, because they come maybe from not such an active environment to then so active, and you're like, oh, I've got all these fucking thoughts, you know what I mean? So it's nuts. How do you find hecklers through your years of 20? Have they got worse these days because people are more sensitive?
I don't tend to get many. I don't really get it. I like it when they do.
Mm.
I like it when people shout out or something happens. And then, because I'm really good at reacting to them in the moment. And that just comes from experience. But, you know, I love it. So when something happens in the room or someone shouts something out, I can just go off on one and have some fun with that. It depends. People are a bit more sensitive now. But it's just the way you do it. I mean,
depends on your jokes, really.
Yeah, I'm not trying to upset anyone. I'm not trying to shock anybody.
Mm.
You know, there's certain subjects that I won't talk about because I don't feel...
It's not your area.
It's not my area. I don't think it's funny. Mm. You know, like sexual assault and things like that. I talk about what it was like when I was a kid, and you know, there were sex offenders everywhere.
Yeah,
I talk about all that. But you know, it's just a way of doing it. I don't try to upset people. You're going to upset someone at some point.
Yeah.
And you just deal with it. You know, but yeah, most of the time I get people heckling that they're just joining in. They're just having a good time. And
yeah, yeah.
There's just something, like someone said...
Not against you, is
no.
With you. Yeah.
Or someone, if I'm wearing something, whatever, people go, what the fuck are you wearing? And I always get them to stand up and go, right, let's have a look at you.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And like, my shoes cost more than your first car. Go fuck yourself. You know, it's just shit like that. I like it, though. I like it when people shout. But it's... Yeah. It, all this thing at the minute going, oh, you can't say this, you can't say anything anymore. You can. You say what you want.
Well, again, it goes against what you're doing as well with the mental health side as well. You know, if you can't say these things, then you have to offend someone to know you've offended them.
Yeah, that's it. Well, there is that side
in the first point, you know.
But there's people that, you know, they love the effect. They want to be offended because then they go, oh, good, there was a thing that offended me. Now I'm part
of it.
Yeah,
they're playing on that. On that.
Yeah, now I can get some attention. Yeah, like, why do you want that?
It's negative,
chill out,
because any attention could be the same. It could be the same energy if it's negative or positive.
Yeah, you still know? Get if you're getting a hit from it.
Mm-hmm.
It's I find people what's happening at the minute, rather than people shouting out, they have really short attention spans.
Yeah,
because everyone's used to the TikTok videos and that. So now, you know, after
they're
that,
packing a bag upstairs, well, you like just doing see, the washing.
Look, yeah.
Same
as
me though. 10 jobs going on. Or I've left the washing and I'm like, fuck, I've left it for a day.
Oh, you know, mate,
and now it's done.
There's no going back. You have to wash it again.
Wash it again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, that's probably £1,000 in electric bill. Then I'm going to use the fucking tumble dryer.
That's the thing as well. Doing what I do, people have invested in a night, you know, everyone's under pressure at the minute. No one's got a lot of money, so they've taken whatever money they've got left and they've gone, right, do you know what, fuck this, I'm going out, I like comedy, I'm gonna go to a comedy night.
Yeah,
let's go. They don't even know who's on half the time, you know, they don't really know it's
I go like Top Secret of that.
Yeah, exactly. You
most
don't know
of the time
on.
It's always exactly what you're meant to hear or meant to see.
Exactly, whoever's on.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you're shit or you have a shit night, and that people will let you know, because they've gone, that was the last 20 quid I had.
Yeah.
I've spent it on this night and you were shit. You fucking ruined it. You've wasted my time and my money.
And now I can't even afford the kebab I wanted on the way home.
Yeah, because of you worthless sack of shit.
Oh, great.
So, you know, but that's, you know, I still love doing it.
Mm. No, it's good. It's a fascinating career. I think it's definitely a ballsy one, the old comedian.
People say that. Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I'm fundamentally quite a shy person. So
usually are comedians as well. It's like,
Well, that's it. We've all got ADHD. We've all got.
Yeah.
We're all socially inept.
Yeah. We're all fucked.
And, you know, of course it makes sense that this thing, like, you meet, like, people will meet you afterwards. Do you know what? To be honest, I'm not that different on and off stage. It's just like I go through my day, and then at a certain time at night, someone hands me a microphone. I carry on talking for 20 minutes, and I give the microphone back, and I go back along with my life. So I just carry on. But there are some people that, you know, they're their most favourite comedian, but then afterwards they'll meet him and they'll go, he was just fucking weird. Go, yeah.
Yeah, because he's that then.
And that's what he is. Yeah, he is weird.
Yeah, no joke.
You know.
So there's a final question
right.
that I ask everyone, and it's what is reality to you?
Yeah, what is reality to me? Do you mean like the whole, in the grand scheme of things?
What is it to you?
Reality. Well, this is it. This goes back to what I was sort of trying to say before, because I'm... That's the thing I've noticed as well. I get talking and then my brain just says, blah, 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 and all of a sudden I'm like, I can't even remember what the fuck.
Jumping reality.
Yeah, I'm
the
just
top.
Going, man. I thought I got my head around it, or I thought, you know, the earth was formed and then it, you know, evolved and then we turned up and now we've got our little moment in the sun and then we won't be here one day and it'll be something else. You know, dinosaurs had their time. We've had our time and it'll either be cyborgs or robots or... It'll be something else that we don't even know, can't even comprehend. You know, like just be like bags of gas or whatever it'll be. You know, like there'd just be a mist everywhere.
Mushrooms.
Yeah, the mushrooms will take it over with the octopus.
Yeah.
They're not from here. Octopus, they're fucking aliens,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they've got seven brains.
Yeah.
And the thing, how can an octopus open a jar from the inside?
I know.
Mate.
It's nuts.
Yeah, if you didn't know and someone gave you a jar.
Yeah. No.
You can figure it out. Yeah. Anyway, reality to me, I do believe in that. I believe in that energy. I believe we're an energy. like someone said, like we're all vibrating, we're just things vibrating in different ways. Mm. And because I remember working in an old people's home years and years ago. As I went in to check on everyone before I handed over to the next lot, as I walked into this guy's room, he took his last breath. And I don't know if it was the sun going behind the cloud or whatever it was, but the whole room just dimmed. As I walked in, he just went,
ah. Yeah.
And I went, oh, fuck. And I was looking at him to see if he was going to breathe again, and he just gone.
Mm.
And the whole room dimmed. And you go, oh. I do, that started to change things for me.
Well, if we are an electric magnetic being, you know, you've got cells in your body.
Yeah.
Cells are in a battery, cells, they're electric. Everything is electric, really. No one can fucking explain to you what electricity actually is.
No, it's just.
But if you look at maybe that source friction of energy that he had could pull in the, you know, something like that. Some scientist would come up with something to just make it not what it wants.
I think it's that. I think everything there is that thing. Even when you start talking like this, you sound like a conspiracy theorist, or you sound.
Well, they put that out there.
Yeah, that's how they. Like yeah, but it's we're all connected. Yeah. Everything is connected. We are all connected, in one way or another. And so, I just think it's that. I think at the end of this, end of my time, whenever that'll be, I'll just this vehicle that carries my brain around will just. We'll just disintegrate and just fall into, just go back into the earth. And then I'll just become part of something else. Mm. And then I'll be somewhere else. You know, bits of me will be vibrating in a different way.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think, I don't know what'll happen. You don't know, you know, this, people say like when you die, like it's like when you're asleep.
Mm.
Like you're just not aware of it. You're just gone.
Yeah.
So maybe it's that. Maybe you come back, maybe you don't. But I think because we're aware of where we're at right now, focus on that.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you start worrying about, because it comes across, you know, I think about it now and again, because I'm 51 now, and I'm like, fuck, how did that happen?
Yeah.
I was 18 the other day.
51%.
No, 51%, yeah, I'm halfway through.
Yeah.
So you know, right, so now, more than ever, now I'm more focused on what's around me, where I'm at, how I'm feeling, you know, rather than worrying about, oh shit, I'm going to be dead. So, like someone said to me, I've only got 30 summers left.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's not nice. But yeah, I think focus on the now. Reality is, it's where you're at.
Yeah.
You know, this is, it's where you're at right now. No point worrying about the past. All those things you said to those people, they don't even remember meeting you.
Yeah.
They got their own shit going on.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah.
Like you're worrying about something you said in 1994.
Yeah.
They don't even remember, like you'll walk past those people, they won't even remember you.
Yeah, thinking in the past or the future only promotes worry.
Exactly. So you're worried if you're, you know, like, let's say, yeah, anxiety is worrying about the future. Regret is worrying about the past.
Yeah.
Just be in the moment. Just and
get on with it.
Just get on with it, mate. Go and do some stuff. Take your Crocs off. Put your shoes on. Go out.
Yeah.
Go and experience some
Take
stuff.
Mushrooms. Take mushrooms.
Go and experience some stuff. Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on today.
My pleasure.
You got anything to shout out? Anything you're doing?
So I'm gigging up and down the country. I've got a website, richwilsoncomedian.com. And that's where all my dates will be on there. I keep forgetting to update it.
Yeah,
it'll all be on there. I'm on Instagram and Twitter. I am Rich Wilson. I'm on Facebook, but that's, you know, that's,
yeah,
it's one of them, like,
you're the dying breed.
Well, you go, I want to get rid of it, but you're like, no, I can't get rid of it.
Yeah.
And I've got a radio show called The Tuned Up Time Machine, which is on Islington Radio, which is on Mixcloud and Spotify, so have a listen to that. And I've got a special coming out on Next Up in sort of June or July time. So
all right,
I've got loads going on.
Wicked. Keep busy, moving, man.
Keep moving. keep this energy up.
Yeah. Keep breathing.
Keep flowing.
Brilliant. Thanks so much for being nice. No worries.